This is Kimberly Fitch, and you're listening to the Studio Success Formula Podcast.
Well, welcome to the Studio Success Formula Podcast, the business school for dance studio owners. And now for your host, Clint Salter.
Hello, dance studio owners. It's Clint Salter here from Studio Success Formula, and thank you for joining us. Now, I met today's guest when I was in New York City last year, and we just connected on so many levels, from learning dance in her small hometown to dancing on stage with Britney Spears, NSYNC, Ricky Martin, Avril Lavigne. Our guest today puts her success down to sheer dedication, her determination, and passion. Today, she works with dance studio owners and their students across the globe, where she teaches masterclasses, she choreographs, she cleans competition routines, and much more. Please welcome our guest on the show today, Kimberly Fitch. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello, Clint. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks.
I'm so glad that we got to make this happen, because we've been planning this for a while now. I think I mentioned it to you when we met back in August of 2014, last year. So I'm excited to have you on the show. Now, I know you, but some of our audience might not. So can you give us a quick 2 minutes into your world and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a professional dancer and choreographer in New York City and Los Angeles. And like you said, I've danced for a lot of pop artists, Britney Spears, Ricky Martin. I've done a ton of theater, West Side Story, La Cage aux Folles. And also I act and I do voiceovers. So that's kind of brought me into the world of commercials, music videos, TV shows, film, everything like that. So it's been really cool. It's been a great journey in the entertainment industry. On the other side of it, I actually started a company called KF Inc. Dance, and that was so I could kind of share my experiences and the things that I'd learned with the next generation of performers coming up. So I travel to dance studios across the world, companies, and I hold two-day dance intensives with their technique classes and also, you know, seminars on auditioning and choreography and whatever that particular company or studio needs to help their students get to the next level. So I do that, and I also choreograph extensively. And like you said, I have it's called the Dance Doctor, where I go into studios and I clean their pieces and get them performance ready. I critique it just as a judge or the audience would, and then hands-on, we get them ready for the stage. So It's been awesome. Yeah.
Awesome, right? We were chatting just before the interview and you said you have been crazy busy over the last like 2 to 3 months traveling around, helping many dance studios out. Now, you talked about being a choreographer, and I want to talk to you about, and I know you're still dancing yourself, but you are doing a lot of choreography work. So that transition from dancer to choreographer, because I know many of our studio owners have students who, you know, love to make up dances. You know, that was me. I love to kind of make up dances and choreograph dances. And I enjoyed that a lot more than I did actually performing on stage. And I know that many of our audience members have students who are like that. So it'd be great to discuss how studio owners can nurture this type of talent in their studio. This is a question we get a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that you asked that and that you phrased it that way too, because growing up, I actually never anticipated being a choreographer. I was always about the performance. Whereas, like you said, there are other students, yourself included, that love the choreography side of it. And I think the foundation for that is just nurturing passion, like passion for dance. And it can come in different ways. For me, it was, obviously it's my passion now, but I didn't know that was one of the things that I would end up doing. I had just finished doing a job with Britney Spears, and I was asked to teach hip hop at a convention, and I'd never taught, and hip hop was definitely not my forte at that point, but I was like, absolutely, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, just throw your hands up, go, yeah, why not?
Totally. I remember my best friend at the time was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm going to teach hip hop at a convention. And it was awesome. And I just delved in, and after that weekend, they asked me to go out every weekend on tour. And, you know, I taught theater and hip hop and jazz and lyrical contemporary. So I would come home during the weeks and be auditioning, and then I'd make up combos. And that's kind of where my choreography gene like started to show itself a little bit more, you know, because I was just put into this situation. Well, I put myself into it as well. But from there, it kept growing, and I kept loving it more and more. And I still performed, but over time, studios would call me and ask me to come in and set pieces. And KF Inc. kind of came out of that. And I just, it's become a huge, huge part of my career. Right now, it's actually, I still perform, but choreography is the main focus at this point. As far as nurturing students for it, I think, well, I guess fearlessness is a huge thing that studios need to focus on. Because I feel like when I go, like I'll go in and we'll do improv workshops, for instance, and I'll turn on the music and I can kind of tell when the studio, well, I can tell if the studio does a lot of improv or if it's something that the kids are just completely frightened of, you know?
Yeah.
And as a young choreographer, maybe you've got one out of 20 kids in there that wants to be a choreographer, but it's good for them if they want to be a dancer or a choreographer, and you need to give them that opportunity, because a lot of times you'll turn the music on and it's just jumps and turns and tricks. And I'm like, you're not listening to your music. You're not moving in a unique way. You're not dancing, you know? And so I think giving them an environment, and also it's hard with kids because they're self-conscious when they're young, especially amongst their peers. And so if you continuously build an environment where they feel like they can take risks and it's supportive, then they're going to take, you know, more chances with that, and they're going to come fearless. And that's, I think, where choreography kind of comes from. So I think allowing them to be fearless is one thing. Also, opportunity. Give them chances to perform, like have little showcases, do things at your summer camps, or, you know, give them chances to explore, and also force them to not only do, like a lot of kids say, like, I want to be a contemporary choreographer. Make them do theater. Make them choreograph, make them choreograph every genre, because I think that's where our innovators come from, you know? Like, I teach theater on a convention, but I don't feel like it's just, I took step A plus B plus C that I learned growing up and made this combo. You know, it's you take all the different styles that you personally have and you find a new style, and you need to be versatile. So I think giving them opportunity is a huge thing. I think those are great ways to nurture them. And also don't criticize their natural tendencies.
Yeah, and that's a big one as well. I think that's great advice. And I loved how you just talked about, you know, being versatile as a choreographer as well, because we talk about being versatile as a dancer all of the time. You know, you've got to be that triple threat. But I think as a choreographer, and I think of the people that I know that I've had on the show as well, that are working choreographers, you know, that are getting paid a great income to choreograph, they're not just choreographing one type of dance.
No.
You know, they are doing multiple different projects. Like you just said to me before, you know, I'm doing a musical and then I'm working on this and then I'm doing this. I mean, that's what makes you, I think, highly employable as well.
Yeah, I mean, if a client or anybody knows that they can throw anything at you and you've got the tools to make it happen regardless of whatever it is, then I think that's just, and it's more exciting for you. Like, I think that for me has been the best part of my career, is I never know what I'm going to do next, and it's always something different. So it's,
yeah, keeps it exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I love it.
Now, growing up, you learned from some amazing teachers. So I'd love to know, what were some of the lessons that have been passed on to you about the dance and entertainment industry that you've never forgotten?
Honestly, the first one for me, it's going to sound a bit cliche, but it's just to be genuinely kind to every single human being you meet. I mean, I think it's the most simple rule in life, but I know for a fact that there's no way I'd be where I was today if it wasn't for that. You know, it's, you never know if you're a 9-year-old in your ballet camp or your little, you know, your Broadway camp or whatever it is, who that person next to you is going to end up being. They might go up to a casting director, or the girl that's sitting next to you on your tour bus for 6 months, or a choreographer you want to work with. You know, it's, so I think that's one thing. And that was definitely stress. One of my teachers was really big on that. Like, it was like a no criticism zone amongst each other. You know, it's, and I think another thing, this is kind of a funny story. I was at Broadway Theater Project, and Anne Ranking and it's like Ben Vereen and Gregory Hines, and we're in this class. And Anne Ranking went on this little spiel about salmon and how, you know, we're like her little, like, she's going to send us off. We're like her little, like, fish, and she's going to send us off, and then we're all going to return back to her, and then we'll give back what we learned. And then, you know, the next one, it's kind of a funny, almost morbid story, but but the point of it is, her point was like, this is a community, you know, it's, you're working together and you're going to create together, and you have to support each other, and you know, inspiration breeds inspiration. So I think that was the biggest one, is be genuinely kind. Another huge one my dance teacher always stressed was never mark anything, full out all the time, which even if you're exhausted, you just do it full out because that's when you push your limits. That's when you get better every single time you do it. Just that point when you think you're going to break, that's when you get better. And also you never know who's watching. That's how I got my first job.
Yeah, I love that. You never know who's watching, and that's so true. And that applies, I think, to watching you then, but you know, you could end up getting work from them watching you in one class or one audition, and then you might 2 years later they might go, hey, I remember you did that and we love you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it always comes back around.
Yeah, I have some actually. I have several stories where that was the case. You know, one was I was dancing at Broadway Dance Center and they said market and I didn't. I did it full out in the back and I was, you know, obviously spatial awareness, but I got offered a job the next day and I'm dancing on MTV for one of the biggest pop artists in the world. And I went to an audition for a bar mitzvah. Like, you do whatever you have to. That's another one. You do whatever you have
I love
to
that.
When you're trying to pay your rent, you're 18, you know? And 6 months later, I got a phone call and it was somebody that was at that audition referred me. They're like, oh my God, she's perfect for this job. Never auditioned. And next thing you know, I'm on tour again. It's, you never, ever know who's in the room.
I love that. So, I love that. Yes. And that's, look, for our studio owners that are listening, that's a great, important lesson to pass on to all of your students, you know, who are wanting a career in dance and entertainment.
Yeah. And I think with teachers too, they notice, I mean, we notice when you're in a classroom who the kid is in the back doing the combo over and over, even when it's not their turn, and who's trying the hardest. And those are the people that make it. They are. You don't necessarily have to be the most talented dancer in the world to be the one in your class that makes it. It's the most persistent. You know, it's the one with the passion.
I agree. You know, and I've got multiple stories of children that I taught, and that first day they came into the class and I was like, oh no. You know, like, what am I going to do with this child? And I just watched them. They're on the side and they're pumping out every combo and they just don't care if they look uncoordinated because to them, they were so determined. They loved what they did. They were there every day. And they were so determined. And those are the people now that are in musicals that are getting booked, that are now becoming choreographers because not only are they super talented, they work so hard, they're really reliable, they're switched on, and they never expected anything. And I don't know about you, but I see it with dance students that are kind of coming through now. A lot of them can have this expectation of, well, this is what I'll do and this is where I'll get to.
Yeah. I love that you said that they don't expect it, those ones, because I feel like oftentimes those are the ones that just pass everybody by because they're not doing it for anything other than the fact that they love it and they're just so determined, you know, and because I go to studios, you know, year after year as like a return artist or when I do the dance doctor. And I was just at a studio last week and this little girl, I'm like, where did she come from? I always knew who she was, loved her, sweet little kid, but she is suddenly just dancing circles around everybody, you know? And I just love those kind of success stories because those are life lessons. It's not just dance lessons. It's the stuff that no matter what they do will really take them where they need to go.
Yep. Totally agree. Love it. Now, you've worked, like we've said, you've worked with many dance studios over the years. You've seen a lot of dance studios. You've seen their businesses. You've seen their classes. What are some of the common mistakes you see studio owners making when it comes to training their students?
I think the absolute biggest mistake you can make is trying to be everybody's friend. Like you are not there to be your students' best friends. You're not there to be the best friend of the parents. You can be friendly. You can be accommodating. You can be somebody that they love being around. But you have to remember that you are a business owner and that people are paying you for a product. And that product is the development of their child in the dance room. And I think a lot of times studio owners, they kind of let the students and the parents start to run the show. And then it changes the dynamic of the studio. And I think on so many levels, it's wrong. I mean, if you take a young girl who's not ready maybe to move into the next level ballet class with her peers, yeah, that's a difficult conversation to have. And you know you might be hurting her in the immediate. But I've seen it where, you know, the kid turns on the tears. Next thing you know, there's a parent meeting happening and the child gets moved into this class they're not ready for. And you're causing injury. Then there's like chronic knee problems and the parents are paying those bills. And the student leaves that class feeling defeated every day. And they lose their passion for dance because they feel like they're behind. And I just think in so many different instances, that becomes a really big problem. I've noticed that the studios where that isn't the case, if they know that owner means business and their rules are their rules, those kids are on time, those kids are prepared, because they know that if they aren't, their kid isn't going to be in that dance, or that kid isn't going to, you know, kind of move with the group. So I think that's a huge one. And it's hard because dancing is close to people's heart and it's your passion, and mixing passion and business is often difficult.
Yeah. And it's highly emotional.
Yeah. And you're dealing with young kids. So it's dealing with it in a way where, you know, like, let them know that you care about them and that's the only reason you're doing it. But I think once you do it, if you stay true to that, they start to trust you and they see the effects of it, and then you have that trust gained, and every new parent or every new client that comes in, you know, the parents that have been there for a while will tell them, don't worry, she knows what she's doing. Just believe in her or him. So I think that's one thing. I think the other, another big thing is not bringing outside guests into your studio. Like I go into studios and I meet these new kids and I work with them, and it allows them to learn how to adapt to different styles and environments. And like we said earlier, you never know who you're going to be working with. I made a lot of connections when I was a kid at my dance studio. You know, people that are now Tony Award winners that came to my studio and they choreographed a tap dance for me. I moved to New York City a couple years later. They remembered me and they've cast me in shows since then. And, you know, it's allowing them to make connections and kind of build their own network and also be independent. I don't know. What do you think about this? I think that sometimes when they don't bring it outside guests, there's a fear of something, maybe like a fear that, you know, it might expose their limitations or this and that. And I just don't, that's not fair to a child or someone you're training.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think it's crucial that you're bringing in, you know, guest teachers, running masterclasses, so that, you know, the children, the students are exposed to different styles. I'll never forget, you know, I went to a studio that was, you know, an hour out of Sydney, and we didn't have any guest teachers. So I remember going to my first audition and I just couldn't pick up the choreography.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I can dance it, but I need about an hour to learn it, you know, because the way this choreographer taught it, I was, I was like, I can't even do the first, you know, the first eight counts.
Yeah.
You know, so look, that's a really important thing. And I see it all the time. And I think it's fear of, yes, being exposed, maybe not wanting someone else to come in to then judge them. But you've got to remember, as the studio owner, it's not about you. You know, it's
just going to say that.
Yeah, it's about the students. I loved what you said. It's so funny. I did an interview earlier today and their kind of number one thing, it was a studio owner, and she said the thing that transformed my business was when I actually started to run it as a business.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that at the end of the day, it's a transaction business. They're buying dance classes. I mean, that's quite a sterile way of saying it, but that's what it is.
But it's the reality of it. Yeah.
100%. And you want the best for those kids. Why? Because they're going to stay with you. You know, they're going to become your raving fans. They're going to talk about how awesome, you know, your studio is. And the way you do that is through lots of different strategies, but 100% bringing people in and not having this kind of, I just want to keep all my children, all my students to myself in my studio. Cause that's not going to help you, you know, that's not going to keep them, you know, that's going to make them get a taste of dance somewhere else and then go, what have I been doing here all these years?
Absolutely. I think that when you say, like, it's not about you too, it's those kids are with you until they graduate high school, if that long, you know. You're a stepping stone, and then they're going to go out and do whatever else they do. If you just are working so hard to keep that one core group of kids, you're shutting away everybody else that could be walking through those doors. And also, like you said, those kids are going to go out there and they're going to be blind. Like when you were at that first audition, you didn't know how to handle yourself. So it's just like that. You learning how to pick up, and every teacher teaches differently. So even if they don't enjoy, I mean, there's going to be classes they're not going to like. You might bring in a master teacher and they're like, okay, that one wasn't a great experience for them, but it was because they had to force themselves to learn in a way that maybe they're not used to. And it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means they're not used to it. So that's a good lesson for them to learn right off the bat, because it's not always going to be catered to what they're used to.
No.
And it is a business. And if you're if you're not exposing them to other, let's say they go to a convention and they see these other kids that can do everything and all these different styles, that's a direct reflection of your business right there in a public setting. So if you have the kids that can't adapt and you have your team coat on, they're all going to know. So that reflects poorly on your business. So you're doing yourself a disservice regardless.
100%. 100% agree. Now, on the flip side, what are some things that you've seen in studios who are really thriving? Like, what are they doing to run great businesses?
It kind of goes back to what we just said, some of it. Let them explore. Like, when they're during the summer, let them go away and find camps. They're going to bring back a new excitement. They're going to bring back this vigor and training. And I just think that's a really great thing. I think some studios, they want the kids year round. And I know it's different in different places depending on the seasons, but I think letting them have outside influences and letting them explore is one of the best things you can do for them. I'm huge on ballet. I think the studios that are really developing strong dancers are enforcing ballet. And I think from a more of a business standpoint, it is a business. And I know that we deal with a lot of competition, students, and that kind of thing this day and age. But building up your recreational program is a huge thing that a studio can do to help build business. I think that's where a lot of the money comes from. Those are your once-a-weekers. They will eventually feed into, some of them, into your competition team. But that's a huge thing, is building up that recreational program. And it can be done through branding. And I think branding a studio is the best way in your community to become recognizable, so that when the five-year-old wants to sign up for dancing, they know what studio to go to. They've seen the bumper stickers on the cars, or, you know, the magnets, or, you know, at the grocery store, all these kids are in their jackets, have products for them where it's visible, like have a memorable logo, make sure it's something that like everybody in your community kind of knows.
Yeah. Awesome. And I 100% agree with everything that you are saying. You know, we're all about, you know, what we teach in Studio Success Formula is, you know, about becoming the go-to studio, so that you're right. When that parent has a little kid who wants to go to dance, straight away, bam, they're thinking of Kimberly's Dance Studio or Clint's Dance Studio, you know.
Yeah.
They are thinking of your studio, and you have built a brand. You know, I was talking with one of our members this week about, you want to become like the Apple of dance in your area. You know, like, yeah, if you think of Apple as a brand and what they've done, you want to do that for your dance studio. And I think if we start talking about, you know, marketing and branding, which is all about, you know, running a business, it's scary for a lot of dance studio owners, because they've come from being a dance teacher going, I'd love to open up a studio. So, you know, basing the business on, I have a passion for dance, it makes sense to open up a studio, not so much on there's a great commercial opportunity here. You know, for me to open up a dance studio. So, you know, the branding and the marketing side of things is really scary, but 100%. They've got to build a brand.
Yeah, I think with the and with that, because it is so scary for a lot of them, another thing that I've seen, like the studios that are thriving the most, what they do, they have the right team behind them. You know, it's not a one person show. It's so if branding and that is not necessarily your strong point, bring somebody on that is their forte, and you tell them, like, because then you can still have the emotional side of it. Like, this is why I want to do it. It's my passion. Da 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 da. Like, you can indulge all the information on them, and then make somebody else put it into action. You know, have them be the one that does that. So you're teaching the classes. You're staying true to your mission statement, but you've got people behind you that can make your dream kind of a reality, as cheesy as it may sound. That's because that's the case that it is. And also with the teaching faculty, hire people that you know are consistent with your beliefs. Yeah, mixing business and passion is, like we said, is tricky. But if you feel like you can't do it on your own, and it's just a matter of being realistic with yourself, then find somebody else that can and wants to.
Exactly. And, you know, the great thing is, you know, and with our members, we talk about being a global marketplace. You know, if you don't know about Facebook advertising, you know, you can learn a little bit and then outsource that. You know, if you don't want to be, and you shouldn't be, because these are low value tasks, you know, doing your invoicing, doing the paperwork, you know, staying up till 2 a.m, you know, to just fill in databases. I mean, you should be outsourcing that as well. So we're in a great time of business, because we can actually not have to spend a huge amount of money, outsource a lot of the things that we don't like doing, that we shouldn't be doing our business, so that we can focus on higher value tasks, you know, new projects, you know, new income, you know, new revenue streams, you know, that type of thing that you should be working on as an owner of a business.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it too, like new revenue streams, because then you're not focusing on maintaining, you're focusing on growing. You know, you've built something, somebody else is doing the maintaining work, you know, the backbone of it. And you can just constantly have new projects coming up and be doing honestly what your gift is and what you absolutely love.
Yeah. And that's the thing. What have you been put on the world, you know, putting the world to do? You know, that's what it's about. You know, have you been put here to do invoicing and replying to emails or coordinating costumes? Probably not. You know, you've probably got a bigger calling. So it's about living that. And, you know, what you said, putting, you know, getting your rock star team, as we call it, you know, putting that A team together of people that can help make that dream studio come alive, you know?
I've had to do it with KF Inc., you know, and it's hard, I think, sometimes for people to let their baby go because it is yours and you want to oversee everything, but you have to start delegating, and that's when you really find success. And then you build a great team, and it's even more exciting because you grow together.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Let's move on to your masterclasses now, because I know that you're known for being energetic, engaging, and I know that your classes are very fun. So I'd love to know, what are the qualities do you have as a dance teacher that you believe makes your classes really popular?
Obviously passion, I think, goes without saying. I'm very passionate about it. I think my attention to detail makes it really exciting for them, because whenever I have a movement or I do anything, I really let them know what the intention is. And, you know, it's like, pull your shoulder back 2 inches, because it conveys a completely different meaning with that movement. And I think I relay that information to them instead of saying, okay, here's this step, here's that step. And I build the character with them, or the emotion, or whatever it is that we're dancing about. And I think that pulls the dancers in, because it's relatable. You know, it gives them something that they can build upon. And I think also being able to verbalize it and explaining exactly what I want is something that, yeah, I've gotten a lot of feedback that is definitely one of my strong points. Because you can say something one way and nobody's, you know, nobody's going to get it. And then you say it another way and 4 people get it. Then, you know, so you have to say the same thing 5 or 6 different ways, and then all of a sudden it will click. And so it's finding ways to explain things so that they get it, but also keeping the energy of the room up and keeping it this really dynamic learning environment. So I think the attention to detail really goes a long way. I also connect with them. I think it's really important for them to know that I'm not like just there to give class, walk away. It's not for me to dance. It's for me to watch them learn. And I want to see those little aha moments. And I want to see, you know, see growth right then and there. If I'm in a small studio setting, then I learn everybody's name within the first hour. It's a rule of mine. And I call them by their name for the rest of the event. If it's 2 days, no matter how long it is, because then they know they actually matter to me. And then in a convention setting, you know, I make a lot of eye contact and I acknowledge as many people as possible. So I think those are the things that keep people coming back and wanting to be in a room learning with you.
I'd agree. I think, you know, one of the really important things, you know, you touched on was about the different learning styles. You know, we learn 7 different ways. And So like you said, if they're not getting it one way, I see so many teachers that, you know, I'll sit and watch a class of, you know, one of my clients and see how their teachers are teaching, and they're teaching and you can see that none of the students, or maybe one of them, is getting it, and they keep trying the same way to explain the same thing. And I'm like, you know what? That's not getting through to them. You know, you need to really quickly go, okay, this isn't working. Let's try this. You know,
yeah.
Oh, wow, that didn't work either. Let's try something else, you know.
Yeah, you have to be creative with it. And I think it's – I always kind of sit back and when I see a teacher getting frustrated with a student, I'm like, you can't get frustrated with them if you're not conveying your message properly, you know, or not – maybe not properly, but it doesn't – it's not clicking with them.
That's right.
Some kids are hands-on. I create these crazy little things like – for them to remember these, you know, for young kids, fun stories or whatever reference they need where it makes sense to them. Some people need hands-on. I pull a kid on stage at conventions all the time. I do this and I will just like push one thing one way to kind of tuck this, like pull whatever we need to do so they get that feeling, or have them all do it to each other once that works. And then you see all these, they get, and it's exciting for them because they're doing it together. But you can't rely on, you know, how many times you've been in ballet class and close your ribs. How many times can you hear that?
Yeah, exactly. And if you know week after week, wow, I told you that last week and you're still doing it. Hey, that's not the student, you know.
Yeah.
It's not getting through to them. So how else can you say that? Because there's nothing worse than a child walking out of a class and feeling like they didn't succeed in that class.
Absolutely.
You know, and that doesn't mean that they have to get everything 100%. You know, we always want things to work on so we can grow and learn, but you don't want them to walk out feeling deflated, like I failed today in that class.
Yeah, I completely agree that. And there's also, you know, when you see a kid and they're like, but I am doing that. And you correct them and they say, I am fixing it. I am fixing that. Cause they think they are, because in their head, they've closed the ribs or whatever the correction was. So like focus on a different part of the body, like make it about the tailbone. There's other ways. Everything in our body is connected, you know? So you have to be constantly growing as a teacher too, and do it the way they're doing it. And then figure out another way that your brain can process it so that you can tell them another thing to focus on to make it happen. I think with me, I started dancing young, but I went to a studio that didn't have great training for the first portion of my childhood. And then I switched to this incredible studio. And I'm not kidding, Clint, I walked in. I was like, oh my God, I can't do any of this. Like the kid, they were so good. Everyone was insane. So I went in my basement every day after dance class and I did it every wrong way until I figured out the right way. So I think that's one reason that makes me a good teacher, is because I did it every wrong way. So I can look and you can be like, I did that once. This is how we fix that one or that. You need to explore those things.
Yeah. I love it. Always learning, always growing. Now, every competition studio wants the best possible routine for their team. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how you go about choreographing a routine for a studio, you know, that whole kind of planning stage that you go through.
Yeah, my process is pretty in-depth. You have to think too, I'm going into studios where oftentimes I don't know what dancers I'm going to have in front of me.
Exactly.
Like it's just, here you go. So my absolute biggest thing is know your music inside out. Find music that's different, or even if it's not different, that you connect with on such a level. And I'm not kidding. I will sit here and listen to it for days. Like I know every strum of like every instrument, like, you know, it's like know inside out. And once I do that, I automatically, that helps me to visualize the flow of the piece. So then I have the formations in my head and the staging, and you know, they're going to be tweaked slightly depending on when I get there and how things kind of play out. But for me, at least this is my process. I learn the music. From there, I visualize the formations and the level changes and all the movement. And then I already have those dynamics so built into me that when I get there, I can kind of plug in the pieces. You know, so I will, when I get there, it depends. Sometimes I will set, it depends on the style, honestly. Sometimes I will have the actual movement set. It's never solid, it's never concrete, but I'll have it set somewhat, and then sometimes it'll just be kind of the flow of it. When I get to the studio, I audition the dancers. I do skills and movement, because you know you're gonna have your kid that can have this beautiful développé, but maybe is not the best mover, and vice versa. You have movers, and I want to make sure that everybody is properly cast. So I audition them, I cast them into those parts, and then I cater the movement to those dancers. Is when it comes to choreographing in a studio, because it's a totally different experience for the choreographer that is actually working with the kids day in and day out. I think they also need to know their music inside out. And I think they need to revisit their original vision of the piece throughout the process. Because sometimes I can see where it was kind of where they were aiming for it to go. But then when I go to dance doctorate, halfway through it kind of lost that. Or they stopped listening to the music, or they started just doing movement that they've seen on stage that they like, but not necessarily the movement that matches the music or the story or their dancers. You know, your job is to is to showcase their strengths and hide their weaknesses. And that is something that I judge a lot. And that's something that I see a lot of. I see a lot of the same movement. It's kind of like I could put any song on and it's the same dance over and over. And I'm like, that doesn't suit your dancers, or you're not showing this, like maybe they have great style, but they just technically aren't there yet. Maybe you're a newer studio. Like, don't have them do forte turns, or don't have them do things that exactly. are outside of their level. It's be creative with it. Entertainment is a huge part of dance. I mean, that's what it is. It's the entertainment industry. It's the arts. So don't neglect that aspect of it to just do tricks, which is a huge trend right now. And while impressive, it's going to change in the next 10 years, just as it has in the past 10 years.
Yes. Bring back dancing.
Yeah. It's like rhythmic gymnastics. And I don't even know what's going on right now. It's just not the same. It's not movement. I'm like, dance. Well, I also, this is a huge part of my process. And I just turn on the music. I just dance around. It's actually funny. I used to videotape myself in my apartment in LA. There's a huge living room. And I would just turn on a video camera and just dance around. And I had to like forget that the camera was there. But then I'd look back like, oh, that was so cool, that part, you know? And I use it because that's actually what came out of my body just naturally without staring in a mirror and thinking what I should do.
And then it's a less forced kind of process, because I know when I was choreographing, you know, routines for competitions as well, I'll be like, okay, I've got 2 hours. And sometimes, you know, there was just nothing there. You know, yeah. And then it could be like 1 a.m. in the morning and I'm inspired all of a sudden and can stay up for a couple of hours and choreograph a whole routine.
Yeah. With choreography, I also don't force it, because when you do, it just doesn't work. I've had moments where, when I was younger, I used to try to force it. But no, I have to get this done tonight. But some of my best work has just come from being under pressure. When you have no choice but to just do it and you're in the studio and all of a sudden you do it and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I think, obviously we have time restraints sometimes, but I don't know, don't force it. Make it natural.
Agree.
It all goes back to the music for me.
That's right. And putting on that video camera and dancing around the house. There you go. I want those studio owners and teachers that are listening to give that a go this week.
It's actually really fun. Like,
And I'm sure it's really fun with, you know, a glass of wine as well.
A bottle at that point.
look, Kimberly, yeah. I've loved talking to you. So much knowledge, experience, and wisdom, and you've shared so many amazing things with us today. Is there one last piece of advice, if we're talking to our dance studio owners who are listening today, what's one piece of advice that you'd love to leave them with on any aspect, business, their talent, their teachers, just one piece of advice, what would it be?
I think it would be to treat every single person that walks that door as an individual, because your teachers are all going to be different. Your kids are all going to be different. Like, really hone in on what that particular person needs and how they're going to grow and how you guys can grow together and cater to that. I just think that sometimes we think of it as being like one blanket, you know, we can just deal with everything the same way. And it's not like that. And no situation, two situations or people are going to be the same.
Yeah. I love that. Treat people like an individual. I think it's so important as well when new students are coming into, you know, into classes, you know, you've got to treat all of them like that they are their own person without any expectations of how they're going to be and what they're going to do. And I love that advice. I think it's perfect.
Oh, thank you. I went to a studio. I started there later and they were all extremely talented. And I know that I went through a period where I was afraid to take risks because I was scared of getting in trouble. And I don't think that should be the case. It should let the kid fall a million times. They'll get up, they'll do it, and eventually they'll get it right. But, you know, if they think they have to be like the girl in the front row, it's not going to happen. And it's just, I think it's the same with everyone in that situation. So,
yeah, exactly. Look, awesome to chat with you today, Kimberly. I'm so glad we got to do it. Now, where can our listeners go for more details on you and what you offer?
Well, you can go to, for all the KF Inc. info, you can go to KimberlyFitchDance.com. That's FITCH, KimberlyFitchDance.com. I also have KimberlyFitch.com, which will be coming out. We're actually revamping that site now, which has all my performance information and all that kind of stuff. And then also Instagram, follow me on Instagram, just Kimberly Fitch. And just my name over and over. And then Facebook.
Kimberly Fitch. Yeah. Just Google Kimberly Fitch.
It'll all pop up. It's all at your fingertips, guys.
Fantastic. And we'll make sure that we put all of those links in our show notes from today's episode as well. Again, thank you so much for your time, for sharing, you know, so many golden nuggets today with our listeners. I really appreciate it. And it's always lovely to talk to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Are you enjoying the Studio Success Formula podcast? Then we'd love for you to share the love. We want to help more dance studio owners become go-to studios, so we'd greatly appreciate you writing us a review on iTunes. For taking the time out to do so, every month, Clint will be selecting one lucky dance studio owner to receive a power business coaching session. Simply visit the iTunes store today, search for Studio Success Formula, click on ratings and reviews, and then write your review. Thanks in advance. Take care, and we'll see you next time.